Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful day. Spring is in the air. I'm happy. I love the month of May in Montana. So I'm in a series here about prayer, and I want to just share with you an answer to prayer. I told you in the series God was going to answer prayer, and he's given people lawnmowers. I've already seen him do things like that. So we had a gentleman come forward who is just so graciously offered to help with the parking lot. You know, he identified it as a problem, so we've been saving up for it, but he's willing to do a dollar match amount up to $10,000. And so he's donated. And, you know, we'd just love to have your help with that. That's probably going to take place being done here at the end of the month. So I want to give you an opportunity to join with that. We're going to get this parking lot fixed. And you could just mark it on for the parking lot. We'll talk about this the next couple weeks. And then later in the year, we're going to tackle that eyesore out there. I want to get the landscaping done and beautify the property. You know, people drive by, and I've had them say, hey, you know, like, your building's beautiful. We got to get this, you know, property developed. So that's what I'm looking forward to. That is an answer to prayer. I've been praying for that for a long time. So if the Lord puts it on your heart, you can give towards this project. Later in the year, we'll be focusing on another project, but I'm just so blessed by that. Amen. All right, if you have your Bibles, we are in Matthew chapter 6. And as I said, I've been studying the subject of prayer. America needs your prayers. You know that? We are in a battle, and sometimes it just feels like that's what prayer is, like this battle where you're wrestling against the enemy. In fact, that's what Scripture likens it to, a wrestling match. So I said last week, we need to have endurance for the times that we're in, because I'm telling you, the devil doesn't get up easily, and you need to know how to resist him steadfast in the faith. Now, I'm going to teach you the Lord's Prayer this morning, and this has really revolutionized my prayer life. I've been praying this. I've been practicing this, and it's helped me out so much. People are familiar with the Lord's Prayer, but sometimes it's like they don't know what to do with it. So I'd like you to read with me. As I read the verse, I want you to just pray with me. In Matthew 6 and verse 9, you probably know exactly what he's going to say. Just read it with me. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. Father, I just thank you this morning. And as the word is taught, you, Lord, are giving us insights into prayer, how to pray effectively, and you are encouraging us and reminding us of all the prayers that you've answered in our lives. We just receive answers today in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. You know, I was thinking about battles. My grandfather was a World War II veteran. He got shot down by the Nazis during World War II. He was a nose gunner to B-24. He'd been through some battles. One battle that he lost was with his pointer finger on the table saw. It buzzed it right off. He'd become overly familiar with that table saw, and he wasn't using what they call a guide. You know what a guide is? It's what you use to push wood through there so you don't cut off your finger. That's standard operating procedure. And, you know, my grandma, he blamed one of the foster kids that my mother had living with at the time. He said the foster kid has stolen the guide. I did find that guide just a little while later in the shed. No foster kids had stolen it. He just was overfamiliar. You know, the Lord's Prayer is prayer 101, standard operating procedure. And it's something that you should be familiar with, something you should be, acquainted with. And I got to highlight what I'm calling the five fingers of the Lord's Prayer. When Jesus said, in this manner, pray, what he's doing is providing us with a template. You know what a template is? It's sort of like a form that you use. When I write sermons, I sort of use a template. I have an idea in my mind that I follow, because that way I can remember where I am. It's like a prearranged plan. When I'm preaching, it helps me remember where I'm at with what I'm doing. So, you know, you can always pray without ceasing. That's what the Bible says. But if you want to build a strong day-to-day prayer life, you need to have discipline and a template. And that's what the Lord's Prayer is. It's this template to follow. You know, I've been to Israel twice. And what I discovered in Israel is that the rabbis teach things topically. They have topical subjects. So the Sermon on the Mount, that's where we're at here in this passage of Scripture, was topical. Jesus taught on the Beatitudes, beautiful attitudes we should have in our life. He taught on the subject of prayer. He taught about money, and he taught how to build your life on the rock. The Lord's Prayer is a model prayer. It's not simply repetition. You know, some people They get caught up with repetitive behaviors and prayer beads. But really what this is a focused way of praying so that you can stay disciplined in God's plan. These are five fingers that move the hand of God. So I want to just start here with the beginning, the first finger, which I guess we could call this one the pointer finger because it's the first thing you start with, the first place. Here's what it says. In this manner, Jesus said, pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. It's a prayer, hallowed be your name. This, to me, is the beginning part of prayer. We're going to call this adoration. It's a prayer of adoration. It's a deep love and respect that you have. That's what hallowed means. It means that there's reverence and worship. You know, we're approaching God as our Father. We're giving Him the respect and the honor that is due Him. You know, Malachi chapter 1, verse 11, I like what it says, from the rising of the sun to its going down, His name shall be great among the nations. When you adore something, it has your attention. You are focused. You're like, you know, locked in on who He is. I adore my wife. She has my attention. I adore mentors in my life. You know, I think about Mike Ware, who'd come here just a few weeks ago. I think about, you know, my friend Dick DeWert. They're people I listen to. And they have my attention. I appreciate what they have to say. I listen to them. What adoration is it's the way that I express the love that I have. My attention, my focus, my pursuit, my energy, and it's pointed in one direction because I'm sort of like consumed by it. You know, God is a consuming fire. And you get locked in on Him, man, it's a powerful thing. I have been challenged time and time again in the recent years, months of my life that my relationship with God needs to grow. I mean, it seems to be the answer for the problems I have. If my relationship with God would grow, it's like problems take care of themselves. As my love for God grows, my adoration for Him, my focus for Him, it's like it just becomes a consuming fire. Adoration, you'll notice, is worship. It's not a request. In the Bible, when you read about the multitudes who are around the throne, they're not up there requesting things. What they're doing is they're worshiping God. And they are not asking for things. I mean, that's why we start the church with worship. We start right here because there's a protocol in the Bible. We enter His gates with singing. We enter His courts with praise. It's sort of the beginning place of where we can come and approach God when we just begin to bless Him, love on Him. Adoration is that blessing. I like the 103rd Psalm. David said, bless His holy name. So that's just a good thing. Sometimes you got to bless the name of the Lord. And he lists five benefits in that 103rd Psalm about forgiveness and healing and deliverance and the favor of God and the blessing of God. And all of them are tied to a specific covenant name. See, the thing about God's name is He's really whatever you need Him to be. He's whoever you need Him to be. When I need a refuge, I'm reminded of what Proverbs said, the name of the Lord is a strong tower that the righteous can run into it and be safe. So when I need to go hide away somewhere, I can hide in the name of the Lord. I can find Him right there. When I feel awful and broken, I'm reminded that He's Jehovah Sitkenu, my righteousness, and that He's able to give me that sense of peace and right standing with Him, that His blood can cleanse my conscience. That's a wonderful thing. When I feel scared, He's Jehovah Shalom. He's my peace. There's nothing like the peace of God in your life. Aren't you grateful for the peace of God in moments like this? Yeah. When I'm sick, He's Jehovah Rapha. He's my healer. You know, my dad died years ago. So I didn't have a father. I needed a father, and I found one. I found one who's been with me when I feel alone. The Bible calls Him a comforter. I think about how Jesus is my wisdom and my righteousness, and my sanctification. When I need wisdom, He's right there with me. I'm just so thankful He's who I need Him to be in the moment. You know, this morning, I was in here praying just before the service, and I was asking the Lord, you know, what He had for me today, what He wanted to do. I just felt His gentle nudging. I felt His presence that was there with me and guiding me in alone moments like that. And I'm so grateful for Him. It makes me love Him more, which is the reason why He's worthy of my worship. And I just came in this morning. The first thing, I started blessing Him. I started loving Him. I started lifting up my hands in the sanctuary. And I could just feel His warm presence in my life. That's a place to begin praying. So when you begin to pray, when you start, you know, your own prayer life and your own time, I want to challenge you. This is the place that you begin. My Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. I love you. I adore you. I worship you. You just stick with that. And it won't be too long until you just sense God's presence start working in your life. I'm willing to follow him when I feel his presence. Which brings me to the second finger I want to highlight. Verse number 10. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let's talk about a second prayer. And this is what we call the prayer of consecration. Consecration. That's when something is declared as sacred. It's holy. It's set apart. It belongs to God. In the Old Testament, it was like the first of the flock. In the New Testament, it deals with the circumcision of your heart, how God deals with you, things that belong to him. Consecration is one of those theological topics that's not always easy to wrap your mind around. What it is an act of worship or an act of surrender. After a few minutes of worship, what I start to sense is a surrender in my heart that begins to rise up. And I've been going to the gym, and sometimes if you go to the gym a lot, like we're running, and my legs will get sore. But if I just start running a little bit, and the blood gets flowing, those legs loosen up, and I start feeling the juices, and I feel good, it's the same thing that happens in worship. I can sense my spirit man rising up, and I can just feel my fleshly, carnal nature's desires start waning. It's like they get suppressed, because the presence of the Lord is there, and I'm surrendering myself. I'm offering myself as a living sacrifice to the Lord. That's consecration. It's when something is set aside. You know, when you show up on Sunday morning, bright and early, smiling, you know, in your Sunday best, you're consecrating your body. You're here, and you're bringing yourself and everything with you. You're consecrating yourself to the Lord. We did the National Day of Prayer this week. I got to go down to the courthouse and pray. It was cold. It was rainy, but I was blessed to see, you know, several people out there. We had, you know, 50 to 100 people that were there shivering and praying in the wind. And they're showing up with their bodies to pray for our city. I'm consecrating my thought life when I refuse fiery darts that come at me. You know, the thing about those fiery darts, that is the main battlefield that you're going to face, is the fiery darts the enemy throws at you in your mind. And you're going to have to know how to, no, I'm not going to receive that thought. I'm going to dwell on the thoughts of the Lord. I am going to focus on a scripture. That's a consecrated thought life. You consecrate your finances when you tithe, when you put God first, when you honor him with the increase of your labors. You consecrate your family when you bring them to church, when you teach them and raise them in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, when you correct them, when you speak values into them. That's consecrating. You consecrate your career when you say, Lord, what do you want me to do with my life? I'm going to follow your plan for it, and if this is what you put in my heart to do, I am going to follow you with that. That's a consecration. Consecration is like an act of ordination. An ordination sounds like a ceremonial thing, but really what ordination is, it is an attitude of submission. I'm surrendering my entire life to your exclusive will. I'm telling you, when you pray a prayer like that, that's a very dangerous prayer. Because when he said, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, we're asking for our heart to be aligned with God's will. That is like a very serious thing. You know, in heaven, there's no rebellion. You're saying, Lord, in the same way that heaven exists in your perfect will, I want your perfect will to exist in my life. Doing the will of God, my friends, is not always the easiest thing. It's going to cost you something. Sometimes it's painful. There might be sacrifices you have to make. I think about Jesus when he went in the garden and he prayed, not my will, but your will be done. That's a prayer of consecration. He's about to offer his life up to the Lord. See, the will of God might just require some self-denial. Like, you got to take up your cross like Jesus said. You know, that's not always the easiest thing. There's times when God asks you to do something and you don't feel like it and you don't want to do it and it's a battle taking place. But when you pray for God to move the kingdom forward through you, that is a prayer of consecration. Lord, I'm giving this over to you, and I'm spending time before you asking to know if I'm in your will. I want to follow it. Man, this is something I've been walking through in my own life daily all the time. The older I get, the longer I live, the more I do this, the more I'm like, Lord, what do you have for me to do today in this moment right now? I want to surrender it. And if I feel like he's got something for me and I don't want to do it, I pray this prayer. Not my will, but your will be done. Your kingdom come, your will be done in my life. It reminds me of the old hymn. You know, I remember going to Oral Roberts University, and that was in the late 90s, and they had all amazing worship, but some of the professors, they decided to go old school, and we would always sing, "Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to me. Take my moments and my days, let them flow in ceaseless praise." I never forgot that. I want my life to be that way for the Lord. Let me give you a third finger. I'm just walking you through the Lord's Prayer. So when you pray this prayer, you have a template. The third finger here, verse 11. "Give us this day our daily bread." This is what we call a prayer of supplication. Supplication comes from a Latin word, which means supplicare. And it's a humble petition. It's a plea for help. And when the Bible mentions prayer, it often mentions prayer and supplication, like in the book of Philippians chapter 4. Prayer and supplication, they tend to go hand in hand. So after we've got done praying, all the above, when we've worshiped the Lord, when we've brought our will before Him to surrender it and consecrate ourselves before the Lord, this is the place where we're ready to ask God for the things that we need. It doesn't surprise God. He already knows the things you need. You're asking Him to give you the things that you need to fulfill the purpose that He's put in your life. So supplication is when you express the need that you have to the Lord. You know, I was thinking about the needs that people have. I get to go to Africa here in a few weeks, really. And Bishop Aludi has often sent requests out for food, you know, because they might have drought. And they don't have beans, they don't have rice. If you don't have beans or rice, you just get yourself on down to Winco, isn't that right? Like, that's what people do here. It's like, I mean, they pray for food, that's what they need. Shelter, clothing, people pray for those things. I mean, my wife was praying for a home. Thank the Lord we got into it last year. It was really remarkable to see him do that. Maybe it's transportation. We had a teen challenge here last week, and one of the guys that was here, he was like, "Man, I need a car." Every time he comes, we pray for him to have a car. And these are needs that people have. It's totally acceptable for you to approach God in the things that you need. Your Father knows the things that you need before you ask Him. That's also in Matthew chapter 6. And if He can provide for 3 million children of Israel in the wilderness, He's well able to provide for you and me in the times that we live in. Now, He wants you to have the things that you need so He can move the kingdom of God through you. I've discovered with God, if He can get it through you, He will get it to you. If you know how to be a blessing and you know how to love people, encourage people, use the resources God has given you, you'd be surprised how many things He'll get in your life. Now, the thing about supplication when you're praying is it has to be specific. This is a huge prayer key. You got to make sure that you're very specific, because if you're general in your prayers, you might get a general answer. Now, I learned this from a man named Dr. Cho. Ever heard of Paul Yonggi Cho? He was the pastor at one time of the world's largest church in Korea. He had a retreat they'd go to called Prayer Mountain, and they had this mountainside with little grottos they dug out. Thousands of people would go in there, and they'd pray. And he was, this is just after, you know, the Korean War, and there wasn't a lot of things that existed in Korea at the time, and he needed a desk and a bike. He said he spent months praying for a desk and a bike, and he got upset with the Lord. He said, "You know, I've been praying for all these things and nothing has shown up." And he had this, you know, impression where the Lord asked him, you know, what kind of desk do you want and what color bicycle do you want? And he said, I want a mahogany desk and a red bicycle. And within 3 days, both of those things had come into his life. And the point is, you need to be specific when you're praying for something. Be specific. I remember when I was wife shopping. I wrote down what I wanted. 5'7", blue eyes, brown hair, and a Canadian. And you know what? It manifested. God brought that into my life. I'm so grateful. But I was specific. That's what you got to do. You want to be specific. I have specific needs I'm praying for right now for my children and things that I want in my life. Be specific with God. He's well able to do that. Supplication is also one of these things that has to be informed. It's framed as a plea or a petition. One translation is begging. And the thing you got to know about prayer, you can boldly come to the throne of grace. I mean, you can come if you're informed and you know what you need and you know that God's ears are open to the cries of the righteous. You can ask Him for things that you want. I remember we had these prayer meetings back when we were younger, before we had children. We'd do all-night prayer around the first year. Anyone remember those things? When we were up there praying, you know, about 11, 12 at night, you get red shot eyes, you get tired. You know what I'm talking about. Yeah. But I went into that meeting, and I was excited to pray for a building. We had funds in place. We bought property. We were ready to do it. And I was just in there ready to just tear at it and pray. And you know, the way the Lord moved that night, though, I just felt the peace of God. We just spent time praying, and we prayed, and we worshiped. And it wasn't so long after that
this building happened, and then that property got sold, and this place got paid off. And it wasn't like a struggle. It was an answer to prayer. It came because we asked specifically, God, we need help with the building. And he did it. I'm grateful he did. What do you need? God is a good father. And he knows the things that you need before you even ask him what you need. I like what first needs. He's able to meet them. And if you're just walking in a prayer life, you worship God, you surrender your will to him, he's well able to meet that need. Let me give you finger number four here. Verse number 12. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Now this is what we're going to call the prayer of intercession. Intercession is this prayer of intervention. It literally means that you're standing in the gap on behalf of someone else. You know, Daniel was a great intercessor in the Bible, Daniel chapter 9. And it's 15 verses in that chapter where he's praying for God to forgive Israel. He's asking God to move on behalf of Israel's on behalf of Israel. History is shaped by intercessors, by people who pray. When you are interceding, what you're doing is you're praying for somebody else. You're praying for people. Intercession is when you're standing in the gap on behalf of someone. You're standing between an offended God and someone who is offensive, an offensive person. And the reason why God's offended and the reason why they're offensive is because of sin. I think about Abraham when he was with Lot. And he spent all that time praying for Lot. And the Lord heard that prayer and delivered Lot out of Sodom and Gomorrah. You know, the Lord knows how to deliver the righteous. I think about when my mom would pray for me. I was a backslidden, rebellious teenager. I wanted nothing to do with what my mom was praying. I didn't want to go to church. But somehow, some way along the line, her prayers got answered. It reminds me of Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7, about Noah, when the Bible says that he was able to save, or that the Lord saved his entire household. And I'm just telling you, when you're interceding for people, you should not give up. You should keep on praying. You should keep on crying out to him. He hears the cries of the righteous. Now, speaking of offending God, you know who else we have to pray for? Is government officials. Yeah, that's called 2 Timothy chapter 1. We're praying for those in authority. Supplication, prayers, and intercession for kings and for those who are in authority. It was interesting having the former national security director who was here with us just last Sunday night. And man, you know, his main message is that you wouldn't believe just how corrupt the government is. Oh, I would believe it, my friend. He'd worked there his whole life, and he was shocked. He said that, you know, he got slandered, he got torn down in the media, things happened to him. Ultimately, he was absolved from all those things, and it was really just remarkable to hear his story, but the pain that he went through, he said, was incredible on his mind. In fact, he called it spiritual warfare. You know, civil servants are subject to incredible levels of spiritual warfare. That's exactly who the devil likes to influence. He likes to influence people in positions of authority so that they can work against society. And this is why they need your prayers. I know it's easy to get mad at them and yell at them when you're watching the TV. You know, my grandma had to actually ground my grandpa from watching the news one night. She was tired of all his complaining, all his bad words. She said, turn the TV off. I'm not giving you any more ice cream. You got to pray for people in authority. That's who we're interceding for. You got to pray for Joe Biden. He needs your prayers. He needs them right now. Intercession flows through the love of God. You know, it is almost impossible to pray for someone when you're angry at them. But if you're not bitter, you can walk in love, and you ask God to be merciful for them, that's where the love of God starts flowing. When if you're offended and upset, man, you know, so sometimes I'm driving. I'm like everyone else, man. I've been in church my whole life, man. I've been with churches, and I've had pastors who, you know, maybe were difficult to deal with. I have friends who are pastors. And so I'm driving down the roads. I drive by churches. You know what I do when I see them? I start praying for them. Yeah. If you feel competitive, if you feel insecure, if you feel like, man, I wish I had what they, instead of doing that, I just start, Lord, I bless them. I pray that you move. And man, you know, I start feeling, my heart starts warming up, man. I start thinking about how God has been so good to me. I want him to bless them. That is a prayer of intercession. It's one of the safest places you can be when maybe someone's hurt you, maybe someone's offended you, maybe you're upset about something. Just pray for them. Watch what it does. Think, when you're going through a prayer time, if you just use this as a template, when you start praying, Lord, forgive us our debts as we forgive others, start thinking about someone who's on your heart that needs the Lord. Just pray for them. Bless them. Watch what God does in your heart. I don't know who you're praying for. I don't know if it's a son or a daughter, a grandchild. Never stop praying for them. That's my message. Don't give up. Keep on praying for that backslidden kid, that rebellious husband of yours, that knucklehead. Mm-hmm. You get right with God. Watch what he'll do. Let me give you finger number five. Verse 13. Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. This final spot here is the prayer of protection. Protection is safety from harm or injury. And this is where the Bible reminds us to put on the whole armor of God. That's Ephesians chapter 6, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, because we got to stand against the wiles of the devil. That's his schemes, because he's sneaky, and he knows where you're weak at, and he's studying you, and he's watching where he can try to find an opportunity to kind of mess with you. He's a sneaky foe. So protection, the first thing we're praying for, if you need protection, you need protection from deception. That's the biggest tactic that the devil, it's not real, and the devil really isn't the one working against you. That's what he's trying to do. You know, I was preaching last week through the book of Job, and we kind of got a behind-the-scenes look into Job's life, and believe it or not, it was the devil who was harassing him. Yeah, it's funny because people don't always think about it like that. They just think it's natural circumstances. Man, I'm telling you, the Lord visited me this last week. The way God does it with me, he gives me dreams. I don't know why it happens. I saw in a dream exactly how the devil had been subtly and sneakily, is that a word, sneakily? He's sneaky. He was working on some things, I finally saw him in the dream. I could see what he was doing, and it was like a revelation to me. I could see how I was susceptible to Satan's tactics, but I had not been thinking he was doing it. He's deceptive. God's protection is so multifaceted, man. He protects you from temptations. You know, the temptations that we face originate with the devil. I want to remind you, James chapter 1, in which the Bible says that God doesn't tempt people. He cannot be tempted by sin. The temptations we face are from the devil. Temptation is the desire to do something unwise, sinful, and foolish, and it pleases God when you resist the devil. There's a couple things God won't do for you. He's not going to receive anything for you. You have to believe and receive in your heart. Believing is the receiving part. You believe and you'll receive from the Lord, and he's not going to resist the devil for you. You have to do that. You have to say, no, devil, I'm not allowing that in my life. I'm going to flee temptation. I'm going to walk away from that. He will protect you from deception. He'll protect you from temptation. He will protect you from destruction. I got to go down to the courthouse. I was praying. They had me on this assignment. They had me praying for the first responders. I was praying for the cops. I was thinking about all the, that's right, Kyle, amen. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. I was just at the courthouse there, and just like maybe a week ago, there was a man with a machete. You remember that in the news? And someone had to deal with that situation. And I was praying for him. I was thinking about college campuses today. Aren't you grateful you live in Montana? Yeah. Pray for your state, man, and tell people not to move here. Tell them to go to Missouri. Yeah. I was like, move to Missouri. There's bears in Montana. Pray for our nation. When I'm telling you, it is high time to pray for America. It needs our prayers. And you got to pray for those things, people in authority, for protection, safety. I'm grateful to be here, as I said. But you also have to pray for protection in your own personal life. Like, you know, your children. I love to lay hands on them at night. I go in there, I bless them, I cover them. I pray the protective prayer of God upon on them, the peace of the Lord over them, that no weapon formed against them shall prosper. I love to pray that over them. You got to pray over your business. My friend Jerry's in the back row there, Jerry McCarthy. Jerry McCarthy has had a more adventurous life than you have. You know that? Yeah, he has got some great stories. Now, he was driving. You know, we had gone to get Trudy. We went up there to get you almost a month ago now, right? Yeah, so you take that back way through Judith Gap. They got the wind farm up there. Well, Jerry, that was his route. I think he was driving like Dairy Gold, driving milk up to Great Falls. I don't like to go on that road. It's a dangerous road, man. Very windy. He's driving a semi with a trailer and a pup on the back of it. And he said he's driving in the winter. And then, you know, you get ice patches and wind up there. He said he hit a spot, and he had the semi like halfway down the road sliding. You know, just holding on to it, you know. And he said he even wakes up at night remembering that moment still. White knuckle grip on the, with a semi, like two wheels holding the door right there. But he'd prayed before. He prayed every time he left. And somehow he said that thing just kind of came back. You know, eventually, you know what they do in corporate America? If you get too old, they fire you. They move you on and they replace you with a hotshot. They gave the guy that replaced him a brand new semi. That dude wrecked the semi within 2 weeks. Don't underestimate the power of prayer, man. Yeah, I'm telling you, he would tell you stories driving and how God would protect him. It's the most incredible thing. He'll do that for you in your life. He'll protect your business and he'll protect your health. I love to pray for the elderly. I love to pray Psalm 91, verse 16, length of days and long life. Man, I love to pray that. He will bless you with long life, healing, health in your body. Man, that's a wonderful thing. He's our shield. He's our buckler. He's able to save and he is able to defend you, except from things like table saws and your own. You got to be very careful with those. You just got to watch how the Lord will lead you through that. These are the five fingers that move the hand of God. And it's like the template that Jesus taught us how to pray. So I want to challenge you every day this week. Pray through these five things. When you're coming before the Lord, you can come worship at his feet. You get alone with God, and you can bless his holy name. You know, sometimes I run through that part of it too fast. I want to just bless the Lord and move on to the next thing. So if you just spend time before him, worshiping him, find that sweet spot, find that place where you could just sense his presence and feel his goodness come. Man, that's an awesome, awesome thing. When you're worshiping at his feet, or you're consecrating yourself to his will, have you submitted yourself? I mean, that might be your problem. The problem you're facing in terms of your prayers not being answered, it might just be the fact that you haven't fully surrendered yourself. You haven't fully submitted yourself. Maybe you're struggling because you want to do other things and you're resisting the Lord. You're pushing him back. You're not allowing him to move in situations. Or you're asking God to supply all your needs from your head to your toe. He is able to do those things. You're interceding on behalf of someone maybe who is backsliding. You know, a family member, a coworker, a friend. I don't know who it is, but when they come to your mind, think about it, you pray for them. You're praying for protection these last days. I love 2 Peter 2:9, the Lord knows how to deliver. And if you pray, you'll see God's hand move in your life in these situations. Now, I'd love to pray that over you this morning. I'd love to pray those things. But what I wanted to do in this case is I just want to pray with you. And I want to just invite anyone who'd like prayer down here for prayer, if we could just get the music on. And I want to just pray for anybody who wants prayer for anything in your life. I'm reminded of what Peter said, the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, his ears are open to their prayers, and I would love to pray with you. I've seen answers to prayer already in just the 3 weeks I was teaching on this. I want to pray with you for your family, your finances, your future, for your faith to grow, for the things that you need for wisdom. What do you need prayer for? And I want to just invite you to stand up with us this morning. And anyone who wants prayer, I would just invite you down here. We'll pray. I got some oil. I can lay hands on you. I had a woman tell me this morning she wants me to pray over her body. But I just couldn't help but sense that God's going to touch you, answer prayer in your life, things that you've been seeking him for. I just know it. So I want to go ahead and dismiss the service this morning. If you need to go, that's great, man. We love you. Catch y'all next week. I love you very much. If you want prayer, I would love to pray with you. I would love to pray with you. I just already feel the Lord's presence here with us this morning. I don't know what it is, what you're facing, but if I could just get people lined up down here, right in the front, I would love to just spend a few moments praying with you. I'm eager to pray. We love you very much. There is power.